You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Just to begin with, can you give me a bit of background on the kinds of foods New Zealand tends to export versus the types of foods we tend to import?
Well, our biggest export is dairy, and by dairy I don't include butter, but milk and cheese. And we export enough every day over each year to feed 39 million people. It's a lot of milk and cheese.
It certainly is a lot of milk and cheese.
And then we export enough meat, that's beef and lamb, seafood and other proteins, which is just a small part of that, to feed 11.5 million people. So that's more than twice the New Zealand population. That's the required, recommended 2.5 servings a day. We only export enough to feed 2 million people vegetables, and a lot of that is actually onions. We're a great exporter of the onions in the world. But then we also export enough fruit, which is mainly kiwi fruit and apples, to feed 10 million people, two servings every day of the year.
Wow. I mean, like, onions aren't really too much good for anyone, except unless you're perhaps the former Prime Minister of Australia, Tony Abbott.
Yeah, but, you know, they do have their worth, and they add flavour and taste. And we do need to eat a variety of vegetables and fruit each day, and we do grow that in New Zealand, but we're not eating them.
So what's happening? What kind of foods are we eating, or what kind of foods are we left with?
Just an example, yesterday, wasn't it, that the New Zealand market's been flooded with crayfish because we can't send them to China, and suddenly crayfish are cheap for New Zealand people? Not that I've seen any, but, you know, that's the way it works, is that we export our best to get the money, and the prices for the New Zealand people usually follow what we're getting for export. So there's an imbalance there as well. So, yeah. But what we're importing is a huge amount of sugar, enough to feed 300 grams to each New Zealand per day.
Lord.
That's a lot of sugar, isn't it?
That is a lot.
That's what we're importing.
So your statistics show that around 40% of adults and 20% of children live in households where food insecurity is a factor. What is food insecurity exactly, and what factors drive it?
Those statistics actually come from the Ministry of Health and the National Health Surveys. So the questions they ask are things like, are you able to buy the foods that you want? Do you ever not buy food because you don't have enough money? So the main driver is poverty, because usually most of the food of the income of a household goes on rent and other essentials, and food takes a second place, and so often it's the cheaper, maybe more short-term filling foods that are bought rather than the quality, nutritious foods, the vegetables and fruits, the whole grains, the dairy and the quality sources of protein that our Ministry of Health recommends.
So if we are exporting a high proportion of our nutrient-rich foodstuffs and charging a premium for them in the domestic market, and then importing nutrient-poor foods, which are sold cheaper, what impacts are we likely to see, and who is going to feel them?
Well, we've seen it already. I would argue that New Zealand is one of the most malnourished countries in the world. Now, there's different types of malnutrition. So there's obesity, which is long-term, too many calories, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have all the vitamins and minerals and the protein that you need. There's undernutrition, which is maybe you're small for your size, but also there is undernutrition when you don't have those vitamins and minerals. So you often call that hidden hunger. And then there's this food insecurity, the food poverty that we're talking about. And so there's huge numbers of people in New Zealand in that situation. And if you're not fed well, you don't go well. It's like a car. If you put rubbish petrol in, you're not going to be able to speed down the road. And we're in that situation. We're not fueling our bodies with all the secret ingredients that they need. Well, not so secret really, but yeah.
So if we do have the means to feed our population, but there is a strong financial incentive to export those foodstuffs, how do we then shift the focus to increasing local access to quality food?
Well, there's a number of things I think we should be debating. I don't say they will solve the problem because it's a really difficult one. We should be looking at making fruit, vegetables and fruit more accessible, and that can include reducing the price. And I know we don't have subsidies in our system, which helps with free trade, but it does mean the prices go up. So maybe GST could come off, or we could be giving out food vouchers specifically for vegetables and fruit, minimally processed ones, because frozen and tinned are really good too. You can't always get fresh every day. There seems to be so many layers in the food market where it goes through the from the grower, who's not actually getting a lot of money for it, through to taking it to the factory, the processing there, the processing at each step. Everyone puts their markup on. So at the end, the food can be about cost five times more than the actual ingredients. So it does keep people employed, but sometimes food travels far further than it should. And you know, we have in New Zealand really good land where vegetables and fruit can be grown well. Is there some way we could look at distributing it more equitably?
Absolutely.
We all need to work together on it.
Well, what I'm interested in also is we have a lot of land tied up in beef and dairy production and a lot of money invested in infrastructure to support that. These are foodstuffs which the forecast for them is that they're going to become more environmentally unsustainable over time, which in turn may even drive up prices more or like result in other detrimental effects societally. Do you see that as being an issue or like having any sort of ramifications for people in Aotearoa?
It does. We're at a situation with global warming, climate change, inequity in our society, where the gap between the rich and the poor is getting that wider, where we have to look at this all very seriously from many points of view. Now, the land that supports beef and lamb in New Zealand isn't necessarily suitable for growing vegetables. In fact, only about 2% of our land is used to grow vegetables at the moment, so very productive. But we do need to think very carefully about what we contribute both to New Zealand and also to the world, because there's some countries like China and Singapore that cannot produce enough food for their population. So in the spirit of global unity and us all behaving as human beings rather than keeping our own, we need to consider this problem from all different angles. But I would argue that unless we can get New Zealanders healthier and more productive by feeding them better, we're not going to be able to play our part in the world of the future and make it more secure for our children. And part of that will be eating more plant foods, eating more fibre, which is one of the things that we're very poor on in New Zealand. Not enough whole grains or vegetables. Fibre only comes from plants, and that's long-term what helps prevent bowel cancer, which is one of the big cancer killers in New Zealand. We need to just get some more balance into the system and feed New Zealand first and look after all New Zealanders.
Well, Elaine, I'm getting towards the end of my allocated studio time, but I would just like to ask, is there anything that you think is really important for the listener to know, for us out there to know?
That we don't know these things unless we measure them, and we need to look at it closely and have our facts. What I'd like your listeners to do is to get out there and challenge their local politicians, particularly as they're looking towards an election, about what they are going to do to help feed all New Zealanders better, because I think that's one of our biggest problems that we have at the moment in New Zealand, is that we are malnourished and we're not getting the full potential out of all our wonderful people that we have here.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.